good morning. I want to start this morning by asking a question. Has anybody here had any good news in the last week or so, last couple of weeks? Has anyone here had good news that they wanted to share? England won 55-15, and that was good news. So presumably you told others. You're telling me. I know this week we've had GCSE results come out. Last week A-level results. A lot of people were on Facebook telling their friends, their families how very proud they were. People have been sharing good news, and that's often our first response, isn't it? When something happens that excites us, that we're proud of, we want to pick up the phone, we want to go on Facebook, we want to go outside and tell neighbours. We've just heard a story of Jesus telling his followers to do just that, to go and to make disciples everywhere. It's called the Great Commission. If you've ever heard of the Great Commission, that's the piece that we just read. And it's quite appropriate that we heard it today, because what Jesus says is that his disciples are to go and to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's exactly what happened this morning, as Susie baptized Theo. I don't know if you like me, like names and looking at the meaning of names, but Theodore won't know this yet, but his name, Theodore, comes from two Greek words, theos, which means God, and dora, which is to give. So Theodore literally means gift of God. I think that's really wonderful, actually, and that's part of why we're celebrating. Theo's mum and dad have brought him to share the celebration with friends, family, with the church family, all of us. And because when something is worth celebrating, we want to do it with others, don't we? We don't keep quiet, we don't keep it to ourselves. We share it with others, we party. And I was quite taken when looking at this passage at that sense of sharing, that sense of something overflowing, just as Alison told me this morning about God's love overflowing. Because there's a word which is very easy to miss. If you look at that passage right at the end of Matthew's Gospel, there's a word, therefore, in verse 19. Jesus has just said he has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So he's saying, basically, he is in charge. He is Lord. He has authority over heaven and earth. And because of that, we're to go and to make disciples, we're to baptize, we're to teach. The disciples to go because Jesus is Lord. Not because he tells them to, but because of who he is. That word, therefore, is really important. Because Jesus is Lord, go and baptize others, bring them into the family, just as Theo became part of our church family this morning. And Jesus says, teach them to obey all the commands I've given you, just as we all promised to support Theo in his journey of faith, just as Theo's parents and his godparents promised to pray for him and to help him to follow Christ. That's what making a disciple is. Helping somebody to follow Christ. Now, often when it comes to our own children, that's quite an easy decision to make. We want the best for them. We want to bring them up to know who Jesus is and to have the opportunity later on, hopefully, to be able to proclaim and confirm those decisions for themselves and strengthen their faith. Even if we don't fully understand all of it, and it's quite complicated and complex, but we do know, we sense that there is something really important about this. We are giving Theo such a gift this morning. But what about everyone else? We may do it for our own children, but what about everyone else in the world? Jesus tells his followers to make disciples of all nations. who speak a different language, whose culture is completely different to ours. How do we bring them to want to be baptized, to want to know the good news of Christ? I don't know about you, but when I'm shopping in the high street and I see those people with a Bible and a microphone in the middle of the high street, preaching at the top of their voice to anybody who'll hear, or when I see people going around knocking on door to door to share the good news of the gospel, I'm a bit conflicted. I have mixed feelings, really, because part of me really, really respects their faith and their courage. And part of me kind of cringes in case that's what I'm supposed to be doing as well, because I really find that very difficult. I can talk to my friends, but complete strangers, that's harder. So, what's the best way to give an important message to a complete stranger that we don't know and may even not have met yet? Any thoughts? And some of you may think Facebook. I'm thinking a bit more old school. Can anyone tell me what this is? Not an empty bottle of gin, it's an empty bottle. Oh, that bottle, please. But what's in it? A message. I don't know if you've ever read a book or seen a movie about somebody putting a message inside a bottle and then throwing it into the sea. Perhaps somebody stranded on a desert island puts a message in a bottle hoping that someone, somewhere will find it and that they'll be rescued. Maybe just someone who wants to see how far the wind and the waves can take their message. I don't know if you heard the news story a couple of days ago. I was listening to the news and heard a story of an American man in Alaska called Tyler Ivanoff, who was gathering firewood on the shore and found a bottle with a message inside. This was last month. It took him a while to get the handwritten letter out. When he did, it was still dry, but he couldn't read it because it's in a different language. So he did what we all do when we have news to share and don't know who we're sharing it with. He put it on Facebook, took a photo, put it on Facebook, and Russian speakers came back to him and translated the message, and it was a greeting from a Cold War Russian sailor in 1969. More than 50 years ago, and it read, "Sincere greetings from the Russian Far East Fleet mothership VRXF Sulak. I greet you who finds this bottle and request that you respond to the address Vladivostok 43 VRXF Sulak. To the whole crew, we wish you good health and long years of life and happy sailing. 20th of June 1969. Russian reporters tracked down the original writer, Captain Anatoly Kofievich Ostenenko. He was quite overcome when he saw the photograph of the letter that he had written. Tyler Ivanoff had found it, said on Facebook, it was pretty cool how a photograph grew into such a big story. And he said maybe he and his children would put a message in the bottle and see where that might go. I think that's quite a cool story. That message was no more than a simple greeting, but it ended up making international news. Imagine if we would share something really important, something really life-changing, and send it out in the bottle. So what message do you think I might have put in the bottle here? Is there anyone who'd like to open it and maybe read out what it says? Oh, me? Would you be able to open it and read it?
Yes.
You won't read it. All right, shall we find somebody and read it? Felicity, will you read it? Go on, then. Let's put this on. Ooh. All right, don't worry about that. I'll hold the bottle. Thank you. We all find bottles and we write John 3:16, that's what the verse was, John 3:16, on a piece of paper, and we put them into bottles to be found by strangers. Does that sound like a good plan to you, a good way to spread the news? Glass bottles, yes. No, absolutely no plastic in the oceans. But I'm thinking, actually, now I can think about it, maybe it's not the best way of spreading a message worldwide. So after all, Captain Kostenenko took 50 years to get his message read, didn't he? And reaching the whole world with bottles, it might take an awful lot of bottles, and it might clog up an awful lot of the sea. So maybe, now I can think of it, that might be a bit of a foolish plan. I don't think that's going to get the message of God's overflowing love to very many people. So what would be a good way to get the good news of God's love to people around the world? Jesus told his disciples how he wanted it done. And that advice holds good today as it did then. He said, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Jesus wants us to tell people that we meet, people that we love, to tell them about the love of Christ, to share with them what we've learned from the Bible. He didn't say, send a message in a bottle and hope that someone somewhere will find it. He said, go, tell people. But how can one person reach the world with the news of Christ? Because isn't that what Jesus is asking us to do? Go and make disciples of all nations. Is he asking all of us to leave our homes, go and be missionaries, go to other countries, and tell people about Christ? Because actually, I don't think that makes any sense. If every one of us here who calls himself Christian left St. Margaret's, left England, went abroad to tell other people the news of Christ, who's going to tell our family? Who's going to tell our friends that Jesus loves them? So let's look at how it might work. Now, here comes the point in the talk where I need volunteers. So, Felicity, you've got a message, haven't you? Do you want to come up here? I need some more people. You don't have to do anything, just stand in the aisle. But I need some people in the aisle going right down to the other end, if I may, please. Be brave. You don't have to speak. Excellent. A few more. Okay, that's looking pretty good. Now, Felicity, do you know my husband Matthew very well? No? So, actually, if you felt that God was asking you to go and preach to Matthew and tell him the good news, that might be a bit difficult, might it? Might be a bit embarrassing. But what if you were to tell just one person who was near you? Maybe you just give them that message.
No.
To Tom. And what if Tom was to turn around and give that message to one person? So Rachel, you've got the message of God's love. Rachel would then pass the message on to one person. Since it's difficult to tell just one person, is it? Particularly if it's someone you know. We can do that. We can talk about how our faith has impacted us, how going to church was really exciting on a particular day, or something like that. And bit by bit, that message spreads and it spreads. And before you know it, people are telling other people right across the world. So even though, Matthew's at the end there and he's waving the message that God loves us. Now, even though Felicity doesn't really know Matthew, and actually Matthew could live in a different part of the country and they might never ever have met, if she tells a friend, who tells a friend, who tells a friend, then she is able to share the good news with Matthew. Thank you very much. If you'd like to take your seats again. And as you do, I want you to imagine how quickly that news would spread if we were to tell two or three or even four people about how much God loves us. And they would tell two or three or share that with somebody else.